You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This week, Art and Soul is about the art of well-being. This is Lisa Berry, and joining us this week is a psychologist, speaker, and author, co-founder of the Center for Mindful Living in West Los Angeles. Welcome, Elisha Goldstein.
Oh, so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You will be here. Dr. Goldstein is coming to Ann Arbor in early November to talk about mindfulness and resilience brought in by the Ann Arbor Center for Mindfulness. Give us a little preview of what you plan to talk about.
I've done a lot of research and work around the science and practice around resiliency. And so part of that's kind of understanding kind of how our brain works when we're feeling down or not resilient. And so I'm going to be talking about that, you know, what we've learned about that and how we can actually shift neural activity in the brain so that it can make us stronger and more resilient in the days and weeks to come in our lives.
Resiliency, of course, is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, toughness. Do you think resilience can be taught?
It's no question. Resilience is a skill. It's a strength like anything else. You can learn to get better and better at it. It's about learning and adopting certain mindsets. It's about learning certain skills around how to become more aware of what's happening, your certain conditioning that you're reacting to, certain ways to soothe the nervous system, certain ways to kind of shift your attention to maybe some of the good that's happening in your life, rather than getting kind of hooked into what we call in the field of neuroscience, this negativity bias, the brain's tendency to focus on what's negative and worrisome rather than what's good and okay. And so we're learning to have a more balanced mindset, but that takes practice, and it's a skill that anyone can build.
It's not just our brains. It just seems like humanity as a whole these days is focusing a lot on what's wrong. Is that natural? Is that human nature?
Well, I would say this. If you look at not you guys, but, you know, a lot of the media that's out there, the idea is that they need to sell ads. They've known for a long time that if you kind of put out more what's negative out there and what's scary and what's worrisome, people are going to pay attention more often than longer. And what that means is you're going to see ads for longer, and you can up your ad sales if you do that. So we've been kind of conditioned by our environment of the news that we're getting typically to have more of an inundation of what's negative and worrisome in the world versus maybe what's good, to be able to walk with a little bit more sense of security and safety.
That seems that would be having a major negative contribution to people's lives.
You know, you think about, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago in the Serengeti, if you have lions and tigers and bears around you, you know, constantly, your nervous system is going to be hyped up because it has to get ready for the fight, flight, freeze response. And so if you're constantly in a state of cortisol kind of pumping into your body because of the environment around you, sending negativity to you, and you're already predisposed to exaggerate what's negative so that the mind can plan in order to keep you safe, you're going to be headed for a cycle of continual anxiety and cortisol pumping in your body, which leads to stress and disease. So we have all kinds of diseases that are popping up in our culture now. We have more autoimmune diseases. We have more people's bodies breaking down earlier, higher cancer rates. You know, to me, that what's at the basis of a lot of that is the stress that's out there. And our environment is feeding into that stress. I mean, we have to be aware of that. With awareness, what happens is we have more choice. There's a wonderful quote by Viktor Frankl, which some of you may know. He's a Holocaust survivor. He's a psychiatrist. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, and he has this great quote that's been attributed to him that says, between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So what we're talking about is being able to widen that space between stimulus and response so we have a greater awareness of what our choices are in order to what we want to attend to in a moment and what's the smartest and most effective thing to do in a particular moment. So you can learn to get better and better at inhabiting that space of awareness to be able to make more optimal choices for you moment to moment in your life.
We're talking to Dr. Elisha Goldstein, coming to Ann Arbor in early November to talk about mindfulness and resiliency. And you talk about awareness. Is that something that comes naturally to people, or is that something you really have to hear about or know about or want to make a conscious decision to focus on?
Everyone has awareness. And so everyone has that capacity. They have that seed inside of them. Some people, just like anything, are more sort of talented at it, let's say, than others more naturally. And for the rest of us, we have to kind of practice it, just like in the same way that for it to become a skill. And I'll just say this, and this will kind of hopefully make some sense to it, is that the ability to be aware is no different than the ability to play guitar or the ability to learn to get better and better at, you know, really anything in your life. And all it takes is intentional practice and repetition. And what that does is the brain memorizes the procedure of that. It's called procedural memory, or what's called implicit memory. And that's when we start doing things automatic without having to think about them. Like, oh, we don't have to think about driving a car anymore. We don't have to think about how to walk or take a spoon and put it to our mouth while we're eating. None of that stuff came naturally to us. We had to kind of practice and repeat it over time, and it started to become more natural. We don't have to think about it. Same exact thing with this. The ability to be aware in life, to be more present and focused of the choices that we are, to inhabit that space between stimulus and response, is a skill that anybody can strengthen. It just takes intentional practice and repetition, of course, with the education on how to do it. And then we can be aware of, like, God, my nervous system is way overtaxed right now. My shoulders are so tight to my ears. They've been this way all day. I got to soften them or roll them, or I have to learn how to soothe my nervous system, and I can learn to get better and better at that. Or I need to take a walk right now. All of that. This is those small moments of our day of creating that awareness can make huge impacts and differences in our lives.
But it seems like society puts a higher value on being busy. A lot of people are busy and they're stressed. They almost say it like they're bragging. Being busy and stressed, how do you combat that?
Yeah, I got 4 hours of sleep last night.
Yes.
put that as a badge of honor on my shoulder here. Yeah, I mean, you know, Well, the idea is that there's this misunderstanding of what effective productivity is. And of course, our culture is based on a certain economic system that wants you to be as busy and productive as possible. And so, you know, the more you work, the more you can be productive. And so, of course, that message has been sent out for eons to us. But the reality is, the more underslept we are, the more dysregulated we are, the more mistakes we make, the less ability we are to attend effectively. So we have to go back and redress those mistakes. And so that inevitably takes more time and costs more money, and is more taxing and more stressful in our lives. So I'll say to everyone who has this sense of, like, the longer hours I work and the less sleep I get, you know, the more I can kind of brag about that. You know, that's been found, and the research has found that that's less effective, and you lose more money and you lose more work. You know, when you do that, our economy suffers as a result of it, because we have higher healthcare issues. You know, companies have to pay a whole lot more money for healthcare costs as a result. So, and this is what I say to anybody, is that really don't listen to anybody. Practice this stuff on your own to be more aware, to be more aware of your body, to be more aware of certain mind traps you might get stuck in that lead you to more anxious and depressive loops, and to be able to choose more adaptive responses, and then let your experience be your teacher. Don't worry about what other people are telling you. Your experience is what matters. Inevitably, you can be your own teacher when it comes to this. But it just gives you, you just have to take the chance to do this stuff on your own, play with it, and see what you notice.
If you want to improve your well-being, this is The Art of Well-Being. Lower your stress, be more in the moment. Then you can see Dr. Elisha Goldstein November 4th in Ypsilanti at the Dawn Farm Barn, being brought in by the Ann Arbor Center for Mindfulness. And thank you for giving us a preview and sharing your insight and expertise with us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Anytime.